long-suffering. Will you put up the first slide, Jacob? So long-suffering, it means all of these words that you're going to see up here. It means longanimity, which I've never heard of that word before. Okay, well, it also means forbearance, or subjectively, fortitude. It means, it's translated as long-suffering, patience, endurance, constancy, steadfastness. Woohoo! Steadfastness, perseverance, patience. Long-suffering is in there again. Now, it is translated, this particular Greek word is translated as long-suffering 12 times and as patience 2 times in the New Testament. Now, so if you go ahead and move to the next slide, because I don't know about you, but when I look at these words in the Greek, like I've said before, a lot of times it will give me another word that I don't know what it means. And so then I have to look up that word in the dictionary. So that's what I did. So it's actually said longanimous derives from the Latin combination of longus, which means long, and animus, soul. So it means patient or long suffering. Fortitude, which was another definition in the Greek of long suffering, is strength of mind that enables a person to encounter danger or bear pain or adversity with courage. And then forbearance is a refraining from the enforcement of something, such as a debt, right, or obligation that is due. So this is a word that is used throughout the New Testament, throughout the scripture, but specifically in the New Testament. So we're going to look at 4 things quickly that we can learn about long-suffering. And you go ahead and go to the next slide. Number 1, God is long-suffering. We know that because the Bible says that he is. And so we're going to look at Romans 2, 3, and 4. So I'm going to read Romans 2, verse 3 and 4. I left this in King James. I normally don't, but that's okay. Yeah, I'm just going to read it off here. And do you think this, oh man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? So that's what it says about our God. You can be seated. He is long suffering. His goodness, his forbearance, his long suffering is what leads us to repentance. We know that if you've walked with the Lord for any length of time, you know that it's not because you are such a good Christian that you have maintained the walk. It's it's because he is such a good God that we are able to continue this walk and to walk with him. So he is long suffering. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love suffers long. That's the same word. Love is long suffering. It's also in some versions translated, love is patient. And we know that God is love. So if God is love and love is long suffering, then we know that God is long suffering. Okay. Number 2, long suffering, will you put up the next slide? Long suffering is a fruit. It is a fruit of the Spirit. I was talking to Silas because the kids have been learning about the fruits of the Spirit. And so long suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. So something that's important to know about a fruit is that a fruit grows. This has a stem on it, this stem, because it came from an apple tree. And so fruit grows through circumstances in our lives. And so the Holy Spirit who lives within us has plenty of long suffering. He has plenty of fruit. So John 15 verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. So if you need a good, healthy apple of long suffering, then you need to stay connected to Jesus, who is the vine. You need to abide in him because it says he, as we abide in him, we will bear much fruit. And that is a promise. When it says he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, that means it is a given. If we will do the first part, the second part will happen. If we will abide in him, we will bear much fruit. It continues, for without me, you can do nothing. So we have to abide in him. We have to focus on him. Our problem a lot of times, at least I know with myself, is that we focus more on the flesh and the feelings than we do on the fruit that's growing and on the Spirit. Philippians 4:23 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. It's important as Christians that we continually flip it. Instead of focusing on the flesh, the only time we should be focusing on the flesh is when we are reminding it to die. You know, if you're fasting or if you're practicing long suffering and your flesh is going, I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to respond like I feel like, and I just want to say what I want, and I just want to, you know, fly off the handle, and I just want to do whatever it is I want to do. Then that's when we look at the flesh long enough to say, you die, or you are already dead. And so, you know, I was reminding myself about that dead people don't get offended. They don't, you know, have all of these issues. Why? Because they're dead. If we would remember, our flesh has to die so that the spirit can live. We can walk in the spirit. We have to die to the flesh. So we continually need to be focused on the spirit and allow the fruit of long suffering to grow in our lives. Some people say, I don't pray for patience because I don't want, listen, long suffering and patience is a vital part of the Christian life. That's why it leads me to number three. Christians need to be long suffering. Now, this says, actually, you can go back. Long suffering. It says patient in spite of problems or other people's annoying behavior. So let's just be real. I mean, sometimes you suffer long with people because they're annoying. You know, often the people that annoy us the most are either very different from us, so we can't imagine how they would think like that, or very much like us, and so they get on our nerves because, you know, they do the same things that we're doing sometimes. So long suffering. Actually, Ezra and Silas and I were talking about long suffering the other day. And Ezra says, I think you should call it patience, because like most of the time, long suffering is referring to, like, you think of it, and that's what they said, involving relationships. And Ezra was saying, like, it really doesn't feel like suffering in a relationship. Not when you compare it to real suffering that people are suffering, intense persecution. Like, my suffering with this person that annoys me doesn't really seem like long suffering when you compare it, you know, comparatively. But I looked up what the word suffer means. And the word suffer, I don't think I put a PowerPoint for it. Shoot, it's on here somewhere, but I don't remember where I put it. Anyway, it means basically to endure unpleasant circumstances, bad or unpleasant circumstances. So the truth is, sometimes long suffering is required just to deal with people in your life, the people that are close to you, the people in your family, the people that are in your job, the people that are in your, you know, in the elevator with you, you know, whatever it is. We need long suffering because the next thing, like I said, Christians need to be long suffering. It is vital that we allow this fruit to grow in our lives because it is a picture of how God is. And so we can mess up the picture of how God is if we just go, well, I'm just not that way. That's just not my personality. I don't feel like that. And so learning to live the right, I'm going to read this because it's a really long sentence, but learning to live have the right attitude in daily circumstances with people close to us by focusing on Jesus and his strength will grow the fruit in our lives that will enable us to respond with long suffering in more extreme circumstances. So what I'm saying is, if I can learn daily to be long suffering with my family, with, you know, the person in Walmart that gets on my nerves, with whoever it is, then God can grow that fruit in my life so that if I do face more serious suffering, then the Lord has been training me. God has been growing that fruit in my life. And so he trains us as we walk with him. And so it's important that we apply ourselves to the training and that we let him do it in our lives. And sometimes the process is so strange for us as Christians, because as we've talked lots of times before, God is continually growing us and changing us. And so sometimes the things that he asks of us and the types of behavior that he asks of us are foreign to us. It's like, God, but that feels fake when I do that. I don't, you know, I know the generation like Lydia's age, that generation and younger, maybe, I don't know, y'all can tell me, but I mean, there's a whole lot of emphasis on being real. Like, you're not supposed to be fake. And so if I pretend, like if I be nice to you when I really don't like you, then I'm being fake. No, you're being nice. Like, you know, I mean, as Christians, we're supposed to be nice to people because Jesus would be nice to people. That's not being fake when we're acting like Jesus. And sometimes it feels fake initially when we act like Christ, because the flesh is like, this is not me. I have always behaved this way. I have always responded this way. I have always said what I thought. I have always whatever. But as Christians, we are to continually look less and less like the old us and more like Jesus. Now, the cool thing about God is that he knows how to weave all of those things together. As long as, you know, Rick and I have been walking with the Lord, both of us, you know, the whole time that we've been married, and God has grown both of us and changed us. But if you know us, we are very different. We respond very differently to things. And so it's so cool to me how God can make us more like Jesus, but he created us to be a certain us. And so walking with him and allowing him to tweak the areas that need to be tweaked and change the things in us that need to be changed will help us become more like Jesus. But he does that in his way. And so learning to have the right attitude is a good part of that. And I just really felt, I've got one more point, and I know a lot of this is not new information, but one thing that I have learned is God has a word for us and things that he wants us to focus on at particular times in our lives. And Peter said, when he wrote his letter, he said, I will stir up and bring to your remembrance. Well, if you're bringing to people's remembrance, it's something they already know. You're just reminding them of something that they already know. And so I really felt tonight that we are to be reminded to be long-suffering. Long-suffering with the people in our lives. Long-suffering through the circumstances that we go through. Because sometimes things don't happen as quickly as we would like for them to. Sometimes healing doesn't happen as quickly as we would like it to. Sometimes circumstances don't change as quickly as we would like it to. Sometimes prayers aren't answered as quickly as we would like them to. And we have to learn how to suffer long in those type situations. And that leads me to my last point, and that is faith plus long-suffering equals receiving the promises. And this is not a formula that I came up with. This is a scripture. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 through 12 says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end, that you be not slothful, so that you're not, don't be lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience or long suffering, that's the same Greek word for long suffering, inherit the promises. We have to have faith and we have to have long suffering in order to inherit the promises. Hebrews says, don't cast away your confidence, which has a great reward, but you have need of patience. And so this is an important part of receiving the promises that God has given to us, is that we have faith and that we have long suffering. The New Living Translation, I'm going to read these same verses in the New Living Translation. It says, for God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. So it's important that as we look at him and what he is doing and what he's calling, and that we keep our eyes on the promises and on him as the one who is able to do it, but that we maintain an attitude of long suffering, because the Bible says in James that that's what the prophets who were before us did. That is what brings longevity in our relationship with God. It's what causes us to mature as Christians, is when we learn not to just go, well, obviously God's not going to answer that prayer, and just throw it out the window because God didn't answer it in our timeline, because he doesn't often answer it in our timeline. And that's frustrating sometimes as a Christian, but that's where we have to learn and remember the Bible says that God is good. The Bible says that he answers prayer. The Bible says that he will bring to pass the things that he's promised to me. But it says through faith and long suffering. So we need both, because sometimes long suffering looks like waiting, but there's not any faith attached to it. I've shared how when Rick left, you know, and I was so upset, you know, you guys have all heard that story, or most of you have, that I would come to the church for prayer and I would sit. I'm not sure, honestly, that it counted at all with God. I mean, it was better than sitting at home feeling sorry for myself, you know. So I do think that it's always better, actually. So I do think it counted, because I feel like it's always better to be in the presence of God, even if you're not in the right frame of mind, because God can work on you. Like, he can lead somebody to say something to you, or you can hear a song. And so I would come and just sit. But I don't think that if you stay there with this attitude of, you know, you have to apply faith. That's why it says faith and long suffering, you inherit the promises. Faith looks at God, at who he is, instead of getting so focused on the circumstances and what they are. And so continually as Christians, we have to lift our eyes up to faith. So I just wanted to share, before I close, I got off in my notes and I completely forgot, but Ephesians 4:1-2, I said Christians need to be long-suffering because there's scripture that says that. Ephesians 4:1-2 says, this is Paul talking to the church at Ephesus. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. So Paul said, walk like you're called to walk. And then one more I want to end with this is Colossians 3:12-14. And I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. It says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with, or put on, tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, which is also the same Greek word, long-suffering. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. So as Christians, we need to allow God to clothe us with love. And one of the ways that he does that is growing the fruit of long suffering in our lives. So praise the Lord.